following a press conference held by the governor of West Virginia, Earl Ray Tomblin, a few hours ago this Monday. The ban on the use of water is now slowly being lifted, but not everywhere and not all at once is the main message. So they began lifting the ban this Monday morning in hospitals in Charleston, the state capital. Work on that began Monday morning. And the way that when this ban is lifted, what they're asking customers to do and what these hospitals are doing was flushing the water through the system. So the idea is that you leave your hot taps on for 20 minutes, then your cold tap on for 5 minutes, then any outside taps on for another 5 minutes to ensure that any of the affected water has passed through the system. So you can imagine that takes quite a lot of time and effort to do. Hospitals have begun work on that in downtown Charleston, and then the areas affected, which spreads over 9 counties, are being split into different zones, and each of those zones in turn will be notified when it's their turn to start flushing their taps and getting the water back on stream again. But the authorities were keen to stress that the levels of the chemical that was released into the water, which was 4-methylcyclohexane methanol, or being called here MCHM, are now below the maximum level that it was. So in 90% of the areas tested, the water is now safe.
And you talk about contamination levels dropping. When they were at their highest point, were there health implications?
The authorities have said, I spoke to one doctor who's in charge of Charleston County earlier, and he said that overall, to the various different health departments and the West Virginia Poison Center, there have been, he thought, around 11,000 phone calls with people concerned. Because, of course, when this came to light on Thursday, there was a gap between when the authorities realized that there had been a leak and when that was made public. So people weren't necessarily sure whether they'd been drinking the infected water or using it to wash with. So many people were very concerned about that. There have been 31 people who presented symptoms at hospitals across 10 different hospitals in the area. 14 of those people have been admitted to hospital. And the symptoms apparently being presented seem relatively mild. It's things like nausea, some difficulty breathing, rash on the skin of the throat, the chest and the stomach. But really, the problem with this is that there seems to be a lot of unknowns. And the doctor that I spoke to admitted this because there haven't been any tests done with this chemical on humans, only on rodents. So nobody really knows the long-term effects or even the short-term effects of this chemical. And for that reason, that sort of lack of knowledge means that there's a great deal of anxiety here. There's also some concern that the fact that people aren't washing their hands, because, of course, there isn't any clean water for them to do so, could potentially lead to the spread of flu and other illnesses in the future.
Inevitably, a case like this will trigger investigations, recommendations and an inquiry at some point.
Well, the authorities here aren't talking about that just yet. They seem perhaps rightly at the moment focused simply on getting the water back on. But it certainly does seem that serious questions need to be asked, particularly because I've discovered that a team of federal experts 3 years ago urged the state of West Virginia to create a new program to prevent hazardous chemical accidents of exactly this kind. Back in 2011, they sent a report to the U.S. Chemical Safety Hazard Investigation Board saying that changes needed to be made. Recommendations were made which could potentially have prevented this from taking place, but nothing was done. So serious questions need to be asked about why that was, and perhaps that those recommendations now need to be implemented post haste.